you'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. We think about the purpose of education being what? Most of the time, it's kind of a very one-dimensional, pragmatic thought. It is, well, okay, I need to do this. It's a means to an end. I got to get through grade school to get to high school, through high school to get to college, through college to get on to, well, that's the end, isn't it? What? The career, the making of money, the supporting of oneself, buying a house, all those other things that go along with being a grown-up. Is there more to education than that? And is there more to the life that lies both inside and outside education than just supporting yourself, making money, and pursuing your career? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's National Lutheran Schools Week. This is part four of our five-part daily series on Lutheran education. We're turning to the subject of Lutheran education and vocation. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest, provost and professor of literature emeritus at Patrick Henry College, and author of the book, God at Work, Your Christian Vocation and All of Life. He's co-authored Classical Education, The Movement Sweeping America. Dr. Veith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you again.
Let's go back to the time of the Reformers when they were putting together what we would call now Lutheran education. What was the current state at the time of education that helped shape how they pursued that task?
Well, there were two big tasks. First of all, in the late Middle Ages, illiteracy was rampant. Most people, even nobles and kings, really couldn't read. And for a Reformation recovery of the centrality of the Bible, that was a big problem. And the fact that the Reformation depended on God's word, and that Luther's conviction that it was for everyone, that God speaks and reaches people directly through his word. That was a big priority. And of course, Luther translated the Bible into the language of the people, but the people still needed to learn how to read even their own language. That was one issue. At the same time, this was a time of great flowering of education. The Renaissance of Luther's time was an explosion of scholarship and culture, and it really came about as a rediscovery of the classical approach to education. And so, whereas the late medieval education was done in the church, and most people who could read were clergy, it was a very narrow, restricted, very dry kind of approach to education. And the new Renaissance education was really accomplishing amazing things. And so what Luther and Melanchthon did, Luther brought Melanchthon in on the problem of what shall our schools be like. They combined Christian catechesis, again, the imperative to teach everybody how to read God's word and how to be catechized in the Christian faith. And again, reading was for women as well as men, peasants as well as middle class and nobility. We wanted to teach everybody how to read God's word. So that was one strain. The other strain, though, was to draw on the educational explosion that was happening in the Renaissance. And so the Lutheran classes and the Lutheran curriculum, as Melanchthon drew it up for the Lutheran schools, brought in the new Renaissance, liberal arts learning. And so the Lutheran approach to education from the very beginning combined both a focus on catechesis, study of God's word, and the classical Christian liberal arts as was being rediscovered in the Renaissance. And of course, one reason for that was vocation. There were people of the Reformation, especially the enthusiasts, who thought liberal education, Renaissance education, learning about math and science and reading literature and poetry and studying music. That was worldly. All they wanted was just to teach people how to read the Bible. But the Lutheran approach said, yes, they need to learn how to read the Bible and know God's word. But the liberal arts equip Christians to live out their life in productive service to their neighbors in their callings. Because the world is where we're to live out our faith. And so the Lutheran emphasis on vocation also meant the emphasis on giving a good education that would equip people to flourish wherever God would call them.
Now, let's talk about that a bit, because vocation isn't a monolithic thing. It's extremely diverse. It sounds like what they were doing is saying education ought to prepare someone for any vocation that they may land upon, or may, in the case of medieval Europe, probably be born to.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think even today we have too narrow a sense of vocation, so that we hear of vocational education and we think that means, and that's another word for job training. Well, this is different. Now, it's funny, when the Pietists came along, they took education in that way, and they thought that all the Christian schools need to be doing was give job training, teach people for their vocation, and you don't need all of this head knowledge of study of doctrine with catechesis or the worldliness of studying pagan classic literature. Just teach me how to do a job. And that's a big mindset today. But vocation means God's calling. And the idea in 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, let everyone live the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which he has called them. Now, for Luther, who's doing so much to recover this biblical teaching, vocation is not just how you made a living. The word means calling. And we have callings in the church as pastors who are called and ordained, and God works through them to proclaim his word, give his forgiveness, and distribute his sacraments. We have callings in the family. That was what Luther most talked about when he talked about vocation. Should a person get married? What's the significance of being a father or a mother or a son or a daughter? What are the family responsibilities that God calls us to? How does God work through in and through families? We do have a calling in the workplace, but Luther classified that in with the household, with the families, what the family does to earn its living. And you're right, back then, most people, the way you made a living depended on your family. If your father was a shoemaker, you'd probably be a shoemaker. Or if he was a peasant farmer, you'd be a peasant farmer. Or if he was a king, you'd be a king, and the like. So Luther considered the economic vocations in the context of the family. And then we have a calling as citizens of the nation where we live. And we have a responsibility to love and serve in that society where God has placed us. So a vocational education has to mean more than just train somebody to do a job, although it can include that. And that's certainly important. But we also need an education that can teach us to be good husbands and wives, to be good citizens, to be good members of the church. And all of these things are part of God's calling. The genius of the liberal classic education, and again, it's liberal not because we think of liberal, that comes from the word for freedom. And it goes back to the Greek distinction between an education for slaves, the servile education is what they called it. And that was just an occupational training. They trained the slaves to do whatever they needed to do for the job that they were going to be used for, and that was all. There's a servile education. The liberal education was for free citizens, the citizens of the Greek democracy, and the Roman Republic who had to make decisions about policies and whether to go to war or not, or what person to choose for this important office. And that kind of system required citizens who could use their minds in a wide range of ways, who were discerning, who knew their heritage and knew how to carry it out. And anyway, the liberal education, there was an education for people who were free. And it's very significant that when Melanchthon and Luther were working out their curriculum, they were giving the peasants even not just an education that would teach them to read the Bible, but an education to equip them for freedom. That was in a time of a strict class system and very little political freedom, but eventually it would bear fruit in the rise of the middle class, in later the rise of self-government, and a whole range of other, you know, an economic explosion that took place when you equipped people in these very creative ways to be creative and to be skillful in so many areas. So that's one reason why the Reformation had such a big impact, not only on the church, but on Western culture as a whole.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. It's National Lutheran Schools Week. It's part four of our five-part daily series on Lutheran education. Today, Lutheran education and vocation. When we come back, the challenges of the Enlightenment.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caucabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. One of the things we're discussing here with Dr. Gene Edward Veith is what makes Lutheran education, one of the aspects that makes Lutheran education unique among all different approaches to education. See, Lutheran theology really has an impact on the way that we think about our whole lives as vocation attests to. Another of the distinctives of Lutheran theology is that old distinction between law and gospel. But it's often misunderstood. That is, if the gospel is good news, then the law must be bad news, and therefore the law must be bad. That's one of the things that I take on in an essay in the latest Issues Etc. journal, and it's entitled, Is the Law Bad? Myths About God's Law. There's also our Wittenberg Trail feature there in the latest journal, A Journey to Sound Doctrine by Tim Wood. You can subscribe absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button and enter your email address, and we will send you absolutely free the online Issues Etc. journal. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. We're talking about Lutheran education and vocation. What did this structure, Dr. Veith, both the thinking behind education and this the way they structured their curriculum, how did it the early reformers there equip future Lutheran educators to face the challenges of the Enlightenment?
Well, again, every new challenge for Lutheran theology was accompanied by a new approach to education that they were pressuring the schools to adopt. And, the humanists, like Erasmus and others, said, you know, you don't need catechesis, just do education. Education is enough to teach virtue and everything, and to form the soul and so on. But then with the Enlightenment, it was the opposite. You know, we don't need either catechesis or all this old-fashioned learning. This is an age of science, and we need to teach people to use reason, and reason alone. And by that, they meant scientific reason. And so the Enlightenment schools, which became dominant really in the time, you know, Walther and the other pioneers of our church were still in Germany, they opposed both the Christian teaching and the classical learning, which they dismissed as old-fashioned. And that was one of the issues why the Confessional Lutherans migrated away from Germany into the United States and other places. It wasn't just what was going on in their churches, because you could have a faithful pastor and you could be kind of insulated from some of the bad theology going on if you had a good pastor. But the schools, which often weren't just connected to the churches, but were parallel, their children are being force-fed this Enlightenment rationalism, which really changed both the Orthodox faith that they wanted their children to learn and the more general education for free citizens that they were also learning in the classical ways, and instead were being given this other worldview that didn't really equip them either for their faith or their vocations.
When was this, can we pinpoint a time when this was lost, this focus on education as preparation of free persons, Christians, mm-hmm. for the manifold vocations that God sets before us? When was this emphasis lost in Lutheran education?
Well, I don't know. It's interesting to read Luther. He says, a young girl will learn to be a better mother if she has this liberal education. And again, it applied to whatever God called you to. It made you better at it. But I think it really started to get lost. I'm not sure exactly. One big blow was the Industrial Revolution that started in the 1700s and 1800s, which I think changed, kind of downplayed the view of vocation, because instead of, you know, these are God's gifts by which you are to love and serve your neighbor, work became separated from the family. Work became a matter of just kind of pulling levers rather than being, you know, a skill handed down from generation to generation. And so I think vocation took a big hit, especially among those who were, you know, not really thinking of it. I think that a reformed view of vocation tended to be more narrow and just focus on your job or your trade. That tends to be how Calvin and others talk about it, rather than your callings in all of life. And of course, the liberal arts, part of their characteristics is the is the breadth of it, and the idea of developing all of your powers and all of your talents, not just those that you're going to use for your job, but you're a human being. You're a lot more than just your job. But there came to be a kind of a lessening of even the dimensions of what a human being can do. As you get, especially in the Enlightenment, which tended to want to quantify everything and reduce it just to the very narrow sort of pseudoscientific principle of, you know, these simple answers that supposedly would explain everything in common sense terms, and didn't have much room for faith or for poetry or for music or for philosophy or for many of the other things that the classical liberal arts cultivated. Although it did a lot with math. Math was also part of the liberal arts. It annoys me today to hear people talk about, oh, you shouldn't take a liberal arts education. You should study the STEM subjects, science, technology, math. Actually, science and math were also part of the liberal arts tradition and grew out of that. But again, it became applied in some kind of not so much scientific method as a worldview that excluded a lot of very important things from people's lives and from what would be taught in the schools.
Finally, with just a few minutes here, you mentioned this earlier, and that is when people hear vocation or vocational education today, they think job training. What is the fundamental difference between the Lutheran view of education for vocations and what we would call today vocational training?
Well, vocation simply means God's calling. And God calls us to many different things. And it isn't a matter, he calls us, some of us, to marriage, calls us to parenting. He calls us, he may call us to a particular way of earning a living. And that's important also. But it has to do with God's calling. Today we think of vocation in terms of our choice. We try to teach kids what to choose, to choose what you want to be, and you can be anything you want. And again, there's certainly an element of that, but to think of your calling, including your occupation, in terms of just choosing to, rather than that God has called you to something, really makes a difference in how you look at it and how you prepare for it. Vocation is in the here and now. We all have a calling right now. And it may, even if you're unemployed or retired, you still have a calling in where God has placed you and in the neighbors he's given you to love and serve. So the theological sense of vocation really is much bigger, and it includes occupation. I'm not saying that isn't important, but if you just are trained towards a job, when there's a lot in your life that is also important, and it also realms of service, that a good education will prepare you for those too.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature at Patrick Henry College. He's author of the book God at Work, Your Christian Vocation in All of Life, and co-author of Classical Education, The Movement Sweeping America. You can find links to both of these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Veith, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of Pope Francis. You might not have heard about this. He issued a statement for the 50th World Communications Day and had a conversation with Apple CEO Tim Cook, where Pope Francis talked about social media. He had some papal things to say, not an encyclical, just some ideas from the Pope about social media, people conversing on social media and trolling. We'll find out what it was, how the media covered it, and why the Pope felt the need to address this subject. Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, will be our guest in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.